Faith Drive.
See, the bear's going to church this morning. That's the faith. Amen. No, yeah. So watch out for the bear. So from a few announcements this morning. Most of you know, July 3rd, which is next weekend, following weekend, 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away, July 3rd, doing a church picnic over there at Caddy Park in the little pavilion over there. We've got a sign-up sheet over here for those that would like to come. If you're going to come, please sign up. You don't have to bring anything. If you'd like to bring something, side dish, whatever, we've got a little space over there where you can put down what you're bringing. But again, you don't have to bring anything. Just show up. We're looking forward to having a good time over there on July 3rd. Again, this Thursday, make an announcement also. Going to try again, go out there and pull up some signs Thursday, 6 to 7. Over there at Front Street and Pine Street. We made Facebook news last Thursday. I think it was over 100 comments after, over 100, maybe 150 comments of us being out there holding up signs. Yeah, some thought we were Mormons, some thought we were FedEx workers. Fun. But again, all we were doing is just standing there. We didn't say anything. Nothing at all that I know of. Nobody said anything other than a man that came up and tried to harass Miss Cheryl a little bit about the sign that she was holding. But it just goes to show, listen, if there's nothing to it, if God doesn't exist, why are you getting so mad? If we're just a bunch of fools out there that don't know up from down, a bunch of people what they call from the woods, somebody commented that a bunch of people from the woods... So I guess city people can't get saved from God, right? So if we're just from the woods, why are you even paying us any attention? You're paying us attention because deep down you know it's true. And so just pray for that. I mean, I don't have Facebook. I don't follow Facebook. I wouldn't have known that unless somebody had sent it to me. This person sent it over to me. I wouldn't have had no clue. I knew that people went by and they honked. Quite a few people honked. Thumbs up. Good deal. And other people, it was probably the most opposition, but there was more people saying that they didn't like it too when they went by. And so I think the more we go there to that specific spot, the more people are going to start realizing that it's eventually going to be this church that's out there. So, but to me it's a good thing. I think people need to see their need of salvation and that there is hope. And I mean, my wife were talking about it. To me, often the ones that are the most vocal against it are probably the ones closest to coming to the Lord. Because at least it's bothering them. Some people that drive by and aren't bothered at all, that concerns me. But if it bothers you, that means it's doing something to your heart. So I ask you, if you can't come out, that you would just pray Thursdays 6 to 7, if you do remember. Thank you to everybody who came out. It was surprising me. I thought for some reason this pastor was, there wouldn't be many people out there. But it's the most that we had out there yet. So there was 8 of us out there, so that was a blessing. I think God's definitely doing something with it. Pray also for those that go out there that we would learn, that we would know how to control our tongue. And that we would have a right spirit about us if we are confronted face to face. Because that is the most important point there. If someone were to confront us, come up to us, that we handle it in a right, meek, lowly, and correct way to where we don't bring our reproach to the name of Christ and let them say whatever they want to say. As long as they're not hitting us. They're hitting us, I'll come over and try to do something for you. So, yeah. So just keep that in prayer. Lord willing, today after the morning service, we'll vote on the church bylaws. And then also, if you just continue to keep Brother Les, Sister Nancy in prayer, and also Brother Glenn, he's still not doing well. He's still kind of stuck to that couch because he has a hard time walking. So please keep him in prayer. Before we start, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this day, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and grace. I thank you for the privilege it is to be able to come to church this morning, Lord, to be able to serve you, to stay faithful to you. Lord, help us just to give you glory and honor this morning, everything that's said and done. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Before Brother Ralph comes up and leads us in some singing, I'd really like to read real quick Brother Mark Reno's prayer letter. He says, "Dear prayer warriors and supporters, thank you so much for your prayers on behalf of us in the month of May. It was a busy month, even though we stayed close to home. There are several new developments on some projects I've shared with you in letters past, so let me quickly update you, please. Tracks to Guatemala, the 500,000 tracks are printed, with the first pallet currently en route to Guatemala. We are anxiously awaiting word that the missionary has received them. We also have a contact in Guatemala City who has several national pastors waiting for access to the tracks. The expected arrival for the tracks in Guatemala is the end of June. When we are sure this route is working seamlessly, we begin to send the remaining tracks. They are currently in storage in Tennessee. Tracks to Mexico. Our tracks are in a warehouse awaiting shipment to Mexico. You can see them pictured below. Please pray that we have funds to print more for shipment before the container leaves. It is expected to leave between August and October. We are thrilled to have 100,000 ready to go, but would love to send more if the Lord allows. Please pray with me. The fields are white in the harvest. Tracks to Venezuela. We have funds promised to print 10,000 tracks for Venezuela. We have learned recently of an unusual opportunity to send tracks and are thrilled to have a chance to evangelize such a needy country. With the additional costs necessary for shipment and safe passage, the total cost for the first 10,000 tracks is $1,475. It is not a hyperbole to say we aren't sure how long this door will be open. Please pray for this land that we will be able to send large numbers of literature into a country that is needy in so many ways, not the least of which is spiritual. When I was 16 years old, I went to live in Venezuela for a short time with my sister Robin while she ran a street children's ministry there. The country was amazing in the late 90s, and it has broken my heart to see what has happened in the last 20 plus years. Please pray for me for tracks. Please pray with me for the tracks to help the millions of lost people there. The Gospel Catholic. The new edition of the newsletter is in the mail. Please pray for many who will be reading it. Personally, May was a busy month for us personally. We celebrated Trisha's and Rachel's birthdays, as well as our 15th wedding anniversary. That's us on our wedding day, pictured on top left. I've also had a successful sinus surgery. I'm so grateful for excellent medical care. God has been so good to me. June appears to be a slower traveling month, but July will be a bit busier. Thank you, as always, for your faithful love and prayers on our behalf. We couldn't serve the Lord in the same way without our prayer warriors and supporters. Thank you. Yours for the kingdom, Mark Reno.
Using the hymn book this morning. We won't have a lot of time to sing many choruses, but we'll sing a few. All right, let's start with 732.
Yeah.
sweeter than the day before.
Continue on the book of Genesis here this morning, Genesis chapter number, get there myself, Genesis chapter number 2, Genesis chapter number 2, and verse number 1, Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 1. Right. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Let's go ahead and pray again. Lord, thank you again for allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for these verses. Lord, I pray now you just open our eyes and open our ears to receive what you may have for us this morning, Lord, that we can continue to bring you glory and honor and pleasure. And we just ask these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So we find here in verses 1 through 3 in the second chapter of Genesis that God was finished. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. So God finishes up his work. And it says in verse number 2, and on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Now, listen, God, everybody here knows this, I think, that God doesn't need to rest in the sense that God doesn't get weary. God doesn't get worn out. God doesn't get tired to where he has to say, time out. Let me take a break from this because of all these things that I just did. No, what the word here rest means is basically a cessation of motion or action of any kind. Basically, God has stopped from everything that he has done, everything that he has created, and now he is finished. And that is what it means when he rested. He stopped. He ceased from any more action of bringing anything else into creation. He's done creating, the Bible says here. And it also means this. The word rest can also mean a quiet or repose. A state free from motion or disturbance. A state of reconciliation to God. Now, what I want to look at this morning here is God. The Bible says here that God rested. He ceased from working in what he was creating. And he takes the seventh day and he calls it the Sabbath day. And he sanctifies it. And the Bible says in verse 3 that he rested from all his works which God created and made. Just as God rested on the seventh day, ceased from motion, ceased from action of any kind from the works that he was doing, just as God rested on the seventh day, have you rested in the finished work of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul? And what I mean by that this morning is there's rest that can be found in Jesus Christ. Some think, and I think the enemy sometimes puts in our mind that we still have to do something to keep or earn our salvation. That there's still something on our part that we need to do in able to keep what Christ Jesus has already done for us. And sometimes it plagues our mind. Sometimes you see this occur when somebody sins and they try to make it right with God and they start to punish themselves because of what they've done towards God. Not really realizing that once you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you, there's nothing that you don't have to punish yourself. But sometimes it makes us feel good when we punish ourselves because then it makes us feel like, well, we're really showing God that we're serious in our repentance towards him. No, we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He paid the price for us. He died for our sins that we might be made the righteous of God, and we can rest in Christ Jesus. Are you continually trying to work things out through your own flesh and thought process rather than resting in Christ Jesus? You see, this morning, to not rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ is to be displeasing to God the Father. God the Father wants you to rest in what his Son has accomplished. He wants you to cease from your own works, your own inclinations, your own opinions, your own ideas, and rest in what the scriptures say that you have in Jesus Christ. You see, God here, the Bible says in Genesis 2, 1, 3, he stopped, he ceased from the work of creation, and the Bible says he rested on that seventh day. Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter number 37 and verse number 7. Psalm 37 and verse number 7. Psalm chapter 37 and verse number 7. Psalm 37 and verse number 7. David states here, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. David says here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. He then goes on to say that don't fret. He says, fret not thyself because of what? Because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord. You see, when you look around, I'm really trying to apply these verses in my own personal life. You know, it's very easy. I've said this for months now in this church. It's very, very easy to look around and get quickly discouraged by what we see and hear that's occurring in our country. It's very easy to get discouraged. If not to get discouraged, get angry, get upset, make your stomach sick, get you stirred up because of what you see going on around you. But I was walking my wife the other night, and we got talking about this, and I believe I said it before in here, but these things must happen. These things must happen. It must, brethren, it must go this way before the Lord returns. These things must happen. So let it not surprise us by if we should hear of the wickedness that continues to grow and increase in our country. This is what happens. This is the result of rejecting God's word and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you reject, when you reject what God has put down for us, when you say, I don't need God, I don't need the Bible, I don't need your religion, when you put this off to the side, what you're saying to God is, God, I can handle this. God, I got this. But the more you stray away from the word and the less it's evident and the less it shines forth into the country as a whole, the more and more darkness you're going to find yourself going into. And that's where we find ourselves today, is because there's less and less, I would say there's very, very little true light shining in our country today. Very little light. Very, very, very little light. So if you're in darkness, you're going to go on in darkness and you're going to do things. You know what this book is right here? It's a regulator. It's a governor. It keeps us in check because we can't keep ourselves in check. The Bible says a man and a woman for good reason, because that's how God created it from the very beginning. We read it in Genesis chapter 1. He made a man and he made a woman to be together, one man and one woman. But you see, when you start to drift away from it and say, no, that's not what it's supposed to be, I'm going to go off of what I feel it's supposed to be, you're going to get yourself into a mess. Marriage is a serious thing, in my opinion, and I believe in God's opinion. I believe there's very, very, very small, narrow things that God set up in his word for a husband and wife to separate or get divorced. I find it very, very narrow. Why? Because if it's too easy, you start getting yourself into a mess. Now look, I've been saying this for a while now, things just didn't happen overnight. And see, what the devil will do is he'll start planning today for what he hopes to blossom into a beautiful flower or a deceptive flower 20 or 30 years from now. He'll start doing something today, and he'll wait for the results 30 or 40 years from now. And that's why we have to be careful in our own lives what we're putting in today, what we're doing today, because we might not reap the fruit of it for 40 or 50 or 60 years down the road. So David says here, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't get stirred up. Don't get fretful by what you see happening and how it seems like those that reject God, they seem to have everything go right for them. They seem to prosper in their way. David says, listen, no, don't fret yourself. Don't be vexed. Don't be chafed or irritated. Don't get angry or utter peevish questions or expressions. That's the definition of fret. He says, don't get irritated by what you see going on around you. Fret not thyself. Rather, rest in the Lord. And look what he says next. And wait patiently for him. You know, our job today is to wait patiently for the return of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, the king's coming back. Don't be discouraged. Brethren, if the numbers grow fewer and fewer, Jesus said, fear not, little flock. He's coming. He's not, listen, Jesus Christ is not up there in heaven right now, taking a nap, falling asleep, and has no idea what's going on down here. No, Jesus Christ, our King, is fully aware of what's going on down here on this earth. He sees all happening. He hears all that's being said. He sees all that's being done. And we can rest in that as we patiently wait for him. You see, if Jesus hasn't come back yet, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. There's a reason why the rapture has yet to occur. And I believe it's for us to continue to be a light. The darker it gets, the greater the light shines. The little light there is, the greater it shines. The more people yell at us, maybe spit at us, maybe mock us, the greater that light will be. You see, the martyrs used to have this saying. They used to say, our blood is seed. You know, when the Roman Catholic Church tried to crush true biblical Christianity during the from 400 AD all the way up to the late 1800s, the more they tried to squash what was going on through the power of God's word and true Christians, the more they tried to stop it, the greater it grew. You know why? Because people saw a difference. Listen, I hope this doesn't happen. I don't want to experience it. But let's just say one day somebody walks by and we're holding up a sign, or you go to hand somebody a tract and they just spit in your face. Now, our first reaction, I know my first reaction would be to punch them in the face. You know, because I got flesh, right? I mean, I'm being honest. Somebody comes up and spits in my face, I'm not going to like it. And my first fleshly reaction is going to be want to react back. But if I'm able to walk in the Spirit and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to have control of my life, and I can take that and not respond, and if there's others there watching, it's going to cause some people there to question, saying, either this man's got some great self-control or there's somebody in him and what he's saying is true. Listen, there really is a Jesus Christ. There really is a God that can make a difference in your life. So much so that where this man just got spit in the face and he didn't react. Now you say, I'll tell you, preacher, what I would do. Well, look at how the Lord Jesus Christ handled himself on the cross. Rather than that, when I read about the crucifixion, every time I'm reading through my Bible and I start getting up there to Matthew 26, 27, you start going into the garden, you know, the Last Supper, into the garden where he's betrayed and then taken in. I don't know how many times I've read through it, but each time I read through it, it's like you're on holy ground. To where you read that, and that's God manifested in the flesh, the one who created all things, and here he's allowing his creation to mock him, to spit upon him, to strip him and put a robe on him, and then make a crown of thorns and place it on his head and just hammer it down onto his head. And he takes it. He takes it. When at any moment he could just say, I'm done. Y'all are gone. Wipe it all out. Saying, you're all done. I'm done with this. He could have done that. He's God. But he took it for you and I. And so the Bible says he's our great example. So listen, you can't accomplish something like that if somebody spits on you unless you're resting in the Lord and trusting in him. It's not fleshly. Very few people that have the character to be able to take something like that and not react. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ in your life to help you. You resting in him. Now take your Bible, look over at Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 that God rested from all his work and all that he created. He ceased from motion from his actions. And now we ought to rest in the Lord and what he's given to us through Jesus Christ. rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. Hebrews 3, verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your profession, of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God, referring back to creation, okay? But he that buildeth all things is God. Verse number 5. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Do you see this? You see, what happened with Moses and the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt and their wanderings in the wilderness, Corinthians says that they were examples to us in how we should then conduct our lives in this life. You see, when you read through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and you read about what the children of Israel went through, it's there for us to learn from. And you see, God, now take your Bible and look at verse number 7. You see the word wherefore. And then you go on and see it says, as the Holy Ghost saith. But jump down from verse number 7 down to verse number 12. We'll start in verse 6. But Christ as the Son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast with the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm and done. Wherefore, verse number 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He adds in there, from verse 7 to verse number 11, what God dealt with the children of Israel as they were going through the wilderness. And he says there in verse 8, don't harden your hearts as in the day of temptation. Down to verse number 10, they do always err in the heart. They have not known my ways. And then God says in verse number 11, they shall not enter into my rest. Why? Because of unbelief. You see why we don't rest today in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work and what he's accomplished. The reason we don't rest is because of unbelief. We have unbelief. Verse number 6 says in Hebrews chapter 3, but Christ, as a son over his own house, look what it says next, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Now I'm going to get to something this morning. We need to rest. We need to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and put into practice what he's given us in order for our house to be the house that God desires for it to be. But it's not going to happen if you're not resting. It's not going to happen if you're living your life in unbelief of what the Word of God says. You're not going to enter into that rest, and your house is not going to be what God desires for it to be. He says here in verse number 6, he says, having confidence, a trusting or reliance upon what the Word of God says. Remember that God desires for us to rest in him and the finished work of Christ. We are not to fret or worry about what is going on around us, but to put our faith and trust in our Lord. Now, verse number 6, that latter part there, some can look at that as saying that you could lose your salvation. You could look at it saying, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. So if you don't hold fast to it, if you don't have confidence, if you don't hope, there's an opportunity you might be able to lose it. But I don't think that's what that means. It's not talking about our salvation. It's talking about our house. Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 3, 1. Resting in the Lord. Resting in the Lord. Hebrews said, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now listen, he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So as we're reading on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says to them, he says, listen, you're carnal if you put making these statements, well, I'm of this group, or I'm of that group, or I'm of this preacher, or I'm of that preacher. No, I'm of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not a part of a certain group. I don't desire to be a certain group. I want to be what God wants me to be through his word. You see, they found the same trap there in Corinth that, listen, they're saying, well, I'm a Paul. Well, yeah, you're of a Paul. I'm of Apollos. Or I'm of Peter. Paul says, you're carnal. You're babes in Christ when you start saying, well, I'm of this camp or I'm of that camp. He says, it's God that giveth the increase. It's God whom we serve. Look at verse number 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now see that. Hebrews chapter 6 says, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6 says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And then he goes on to talk about the children of Israel in the wilderness, how he swore in his wrath that they shall not enter into rest. Why? Because they provoked him when they were in the wilderness. They didn't enter into his rest and what God had promised because of their unbelief. Now we're going to get into this morning. I know I'm just going off of what Genesis 2 verses 1 through 3 says, but I think there's something there about this thing of rest and not getting lost in the wilderness. There's too many Christian believers today that are wandering around in the wilderness because of unbelief, and they're not resting in what God said. And it's causing them to lose out on what God desires for you this morning. Look what he says here in verse number 8. His own reward according to his own labor. Now look what he says next. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are what? Look what it says. Ye are God's building. Back to Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 6. Whose house are we? Christ. He says, ye are God's building. Now look at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. You see that verse number 10? You're building right now. Everybody in the sound of my voice that's listening to me, that's saved this morning, from the time you got born again, you've been building something up there. You've been building something up there. And you know the thought that God hit me, that hit me when I was studying this? What will my house look like over there? It will only be what I make of it now and the effort I place upon it now in the present time. Think about that for a second. That thing smacked me upside the head. Right now, I'm building a house over there. Look what it says. Ye are God's building according to the grace of God, which is given to me. Paul says here, he says, I'm a wise master builder. Paul says, listen, I've laid the foundation. What's that foundation? The foundation is Jesus Christ. He's like, listen, you get saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You repent of your sins. You turn to him in faith and you believe what the finished work that he's accomplished. He says, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But then he goes on and says this, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. You're building right now. We are building right now. We're building something up over there. Do you even have the framework up yet? Think about it. If you buy a house down here, or you're building a brand new house, you buy some land, you want the contractor to come out, they're going to dig it up, they're going to come in and they're going to lay the foundation. And now you got the foundation for your home. You're ready to go. You're ready to start building that thing up to make it a place to live in. Now, I don't know about you. I've never had a home built before. I've never had a piece of property where it's been cleared and I got to build a home kind of exactly like I like it to be. Most people have their homes built, usually, I think, do it the way they'd like it to be, or at least to what they can afford to what they like it to be. But I remember my parents having a home built up there in Broadusville. And I remember them as it was going through the process of building, we kind of wanted it done quickly, right? I don't want to be building a house and say, well, you could take your time, you got 5 years, and then I'll get into it then. No, if you're having a home built, you want it done properly and right, but you want it done as quick as possible because you want to be in it. So you want the builders to put the emphasis not on everybody else's house. No, put the emphasis on my house. Electrician's busy. Well, no, have them come to my house first because I want my house to get done. My question this morning is, how much emphasis are you placing on your home over there, the house that's being built over there by you living here right now? Because look what it says in verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, look, if any man, back to verse number 10, the latter part of verse number 10, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Verse number 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built, there it is that word again, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We're building something today, brethren. We're building something today. Verse number 16. Well, verse number 10. Take heed how you build upon this foundation. Jump down and look at verse, with that thought in mind, jump down and look at verse number 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You know, these verses can stir us. These verses also can be quite eye-opening, but they're also a blessing, in my opinion. And I think it's an honor. You know, God loves us so much that he allows us to have a hand in this thing. Do you see what an honor God has given us today? It ain't a matter of God just saying, I'm saving you and you're just going to go on home to heaven and I've done everything for you. You see, you can't quite appreciate that That's part of the problem with what's happening today in our country. When you just get handouts, you ain't going to care much about it because you didn't have to work for it. If I give you $3,000 every month, you're not going to care how you spend it because you're going to realize I'm going to get another $3,000 next month. So you're going to go and just do whatever you want to do with it because it didn't cost you nothing. But a man or a woman who goes out and works 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week, they should, most of the time, will be a little bit more careful how they spend it because they just realize, I just took me 60 hours to get what I got to this week. Right? It's not going to go out of your pocket as quick because you realize it took me this long to get this and I'm going to be a little careful with it. You see this principle here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 of the Lord giving us an ability to lay up treasures in heaven, to build something there in heaven for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. You see, my desire in verse number 12 to build thereon gold, silver, and precious stones is not for me. You see, I want to build a house in heaven. I want to lay upon that foundation the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to lay on that foundation gold, silver, precious stones, but not for my own covetous desires. And I believe the Lord would bear witness. Lord, I could care less about gold, silver, and precious stones, even here on this earth. You can keep it. I'm not striving to get as much gold, silver, and precious stones as I get in this life because I realize that I can't take it with me. But the reason I want it over there is because I want it to be for His glory, His honor, and His pleasure. Amen. I want Him to look at me when He sees, hopefully someday there's a little bit of it up there. I hope there's a little bit up there of some gold, silver, precious stones. I hope I'm able to lay up just a little bit of it to where the God the Father, I can say, Lord, this was for You. Lord, it's evident. Lord, it's gone through the fire up here. And Lord, You know my heart that I did it for You and I want to give it to You. And I want it to bring glory and honor to You for what You've done in my life. Not that I could go to heaven and consume it upon my own lusts. No. I want to go to heaven because I want to see Jesus. And heaven's not heaven unless Jesus is there. When I cross over to the other side, I'm sure what God's got prepared for them that love Him is going to be uncomprehendable. And especially in this mind or body, you can't comprehend it. But I want to see Jesus. Like when I go over there, I want to see Him. I want to see the one who died for me. I want my house that I'm building over there to reflect what I care for, what I think of Him over here. Does that make sense? What you're building now only reflects what you think of Him now. I don't want all of eternity for those to look at my house and say, well, yeah, that shows how much He thought of Him on the earth. I don't want to get home to heaven and the Lord look at what I've done for Him and it show where my heart was at when I was down here. Now, if that don't stir you, I don't know what will stir you. It stirs me. Now, do I fall short? Absolutely. Every single day, I fall flat on my face. But it's my desire. God, help me. Keep getting up. Keep going forward. Don't quit. Keep trying to let God work in my life. And Lord, help me to rest in what You've said. You see, God doesn't take pleasure when we fret. When we're fretting, we're not laying up gold, silver, and precious stones. We're laying up wood, hay, stubble. But why do we fret? We fret because we're not resting. We're not resting. God says, rest. Rest in what I've done for you. Rest and know, don't fret. Know that I'm coming back someday. Keep going about my Father's business. Rest. Don't get full of anxiety. Don't get full of worry. Don't get your mind distracted by what you see going on around you. Don't let the waves that are boisterous let you start to sink in the water that He wants you to walk on. This world needs to see some Christians walking on water through the storm. But the only way we can walk on the water is if we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. You see, the times in your life where you feel like you're starting to sink is a time probably that you're taking your eyes off the Savior. And you're not resting in what he's done for you. Through these last 2 weeks, there's been a lot of heavy things going on. A lot of heavy things going on. A lot of death. A lot of people that are sick. A lot of individuals going through a lot of things. Grief, sorrow, heartache. But even though God allows us to go through the grief, heartache, and sorrow, he wants us still to walk on the water as we're going through it. And what I mean by that is it's not to say that it's not going to be easy. It's not to say that it won't hurt. It's not to say that it won't cause tears. It's not to say that it won't cause heartache in a sense. But if you allow the Lord to take you through it, it'll be a light and a testimony to those that are around you to see that, yes, this bad things happen, this sorrowful things happen, but it hasn't driven me to such despair to where I've turned my back on my Savior. Amen. You might be able to get to a point, as it says, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where by the things that you go through, you can then be a comfort to those that come after you, because you can say, listen, I've been there, I've gone through it, and Jesus Christ helped me through it. Don't lose faith, don't lose hope, keep going. You see, that's laying up gold, silver, and precious stones. You might have a question, God, why would you allow me to go through this thing that seems right now to be so absolutely hurtful to me? It's because God, if you allow, is trying to do something in your life that later on you might be a help and comfort to someone who's going through the same thing that you went through. You say, well, I didn't have nobody there for me. But if you're saved, you had Jesus. And the person you might have to talk to might not have Jesus. And therefore, God wants you to be there for them because they don't have Jesus yet, and you can lead them to him. Does that make sense this morning? You see, God, all things work together for good to them who are called. There's a purpose why God allows us to go through things in life if we'll allow him to work through that purpose and not quit and give up and rest in him. The Bible says in Corinthians that we're his temple. Look back real quick at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. Verse 17 says, which temple you are, look at verse 18, let no man, this is a scary verse to me, let no man deceive himself. Brethren, we can deceive ourselves. The Bible says right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. Listen, brethren, may we become fools on what's going on in this world and wise to what's going on in our Bibles. Let the world look at us more and more as a fool because we don't know all that's going on in this world. But yet we're wise to all that's going on in this book. He says here, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. Look, become a fool that ye may be wise. Do you see that, brethren? We don't need to know. That's one of the problems. I'm about to close. We're going to close right there, but I want to close with this thought. We don't need, one of the problems that, look, I know some people, you're going to have to understand me on this. You know why I don't like Facebook and why I said something to you about it. I don't want to know what's going on. I don't want to know what everybody's saying about what's going on there holding the street signs. Why? Because in a weak moment, the devil can get in there and say, you ought not to go back out again. What's going to happen the next time you go out there? Somebody might throw something to you next out there. Somebody might take the car and try to run over you. Somebody might pull out a gun and start shooting at your wife and your daughter. You're a fool to keep going out there. And don't tell me that something like that couldn't happen with all these shootings going on around here. You see, but when you give your mind over to these thoughts, that's part of the problem with social media and the way things are today. Our brains are not made to receive all of this information because we can't handle it. It's too much. It's too much. There's enough for the devil to mess with you than 100 feed comments of what they think about what's going on out there that you're trying to do for God. And I know it may come across rough, but it's true. I don't need to know what's going on all around me. I don't need to know what's going on in the spiritual realm right now of all the heavenly hosts fighting and battling and dealing with all this up there. I don't need to see Satan. I don't want to see devils. I can't handle it in my flesh. I got enough to deal with my own imaginations and my own thoughts than to have to read what everybody else thinks about what's going on. You know why we have the powers lost in the church? Because we're consumed upon what's going on in this world. And it's affecting how we live for him. Now, you can't do what Paul, says. I think it's in Corinthians. I'm not saying this morning we go out as a church and find some place in the middle of Montana and we gather as much peanut butter and tuna fish as we can and we go up there and we just live there till the Lord comes back and not be affected by anything in this world. I'm not saying that. We're in the world, we need to be of the world. Does it make sense? We're in the world, but we don't need to be of the world. And I'm telling you, the more you spend time in the world, the more there's an opportunity for it to affect your thinking. And the more of an opportunity the devil can use it to discourage you, to say, what's the use? Brethren, this stuff's serious. I'm telling you, some of those thoughts came through my mind. I'm a man. I try to live spiritually. But the thoughts run through my mind. I got my wife and daughter out there. You say, well, then leave them at home. Well, then what about the other brethren that come out there? Why don't you just stop altogether? Well, no, because the Lord, I believe, is wanting it done. And I'm not going to go crawl in a hole because of what ifs. But sometimes you can't happen with what the what ifs come in your mind. That was part of the problem. And I'm going to be careful with this. Because I know friends who have died. I just heard a preacher the other day, a close friend of his down in Paraguay, Brother Jose Hernandez, keep him in prayer. He just lost his wife to COVID. He's got a little 7-year-old boy. Right? So I'm not ignorant to what's going on with the pandemic of the sickness. But I can't let it dictate how I live my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a balance. I don't want to go too far to the right to where I'm like, well, whatever, I take the mask off, just live like it, whatever, just do whatever. I don't care. The thing doesn't even exist. That's in this ditch. And the other ditch is this here, where I'm going to be walking around in one of those hamster bubbles and have a suit on and oxygen mask and everything else around me and disinfectant everywhere. And just that's the other ditch. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. God desires for us to be right in the middle. Not too far to the right, not too far to the left, right in the middle. Now, if you're sick this morning, I would handle COVID just like I handle the flu. If you're sick, you got a fever, stay home. And if you got a family, keep your family home with you, even if they ain't sick. And you probably need to stay home for 2 weeks if you got the flu. Common sense, common sense. But if you ain't sick and everything's all right, we need to try to worship God. Does it make sense? You can't let fear dictate. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power. Look at that. Power, 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 power. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power. Love and a sound mind. A sound mind. A sound mind. God wants you using your common sense. Does it make sense? A right balance. When you have the right balance, you can rest that you know you're doing what God wants you to do. And then if something bad happens to me, I can rest in knowing that I was in the will of my Father when it happened. You see, God will either help you through the storm. How's that saying go? Melanie, help me with it. He'll either give you the grace to go through the storm or it'll take the storm away. One of the two. Don't be dictated by fear. Use common sense and rest in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. God, I pray you forgive me for my mumbling, my jumbling, dear God. Sometimes my mind just goes blank, Lord, and I pray you'd help me with it. But Lord, I know as sure as I'm standing here this morning, dear God, you want us to rest in you. Lord, I don't know what's coming down the pipe, Lord. I don't know what this country is going to face in the next month, weeks, days. I don't know, Lord, if you should tarry. But Lord, I pray you'd help these precious brethren. I pray you'd help myself, dear God, to have a right balance. Lord, help me not to go too far to the right and help me, Lord, not go too far to the left. Help me just to stay right there in the middle. Help me not fall into that ditch. Lord, help me to rest in you. And Lord, help me to rest in you, Lord, that, Lord, in that rest, Lord, I would lay up treasures in heaven, dear God. And Lord, help me to build upon that foundation gold, silver, and precious stones. Lord, help us to be about your business. Help us to be about your will and what you desire in our life. And dear Lord, help us to become fools concerning this world and wise concerning you. And Lord, I pray you just be with us now. And we ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Brethren, love you. Take a little break here before we get going. Amen.